Welcome to the Pinecast. This week, I'm joined once again by my good friends, Sean, who you also may know better as Flargy on Twitter, and Joseph, Mr. Joseph Up the Arse. You may know him better also as I Hate Your Club on Twitter. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me once again.
Hello.
Howdy.
We're all here. We took a week off. The transfer deadline day was last week, and we kind of didn't want to, go over too much before all the dust had settled. We were kind of watching that and letting that happen. But a lot has gone on. We got another week in the bag, and we're now on to our first interlull of the season, our favorite time, when the international break rears its ugly head just 2-3 weeks into the
It becomes the a saving season. Grace for some clubs that are doing shitty, and it hurts the momentum of other clubs that are probably doing all right.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been a few teams who are definitely relishing the fact they get a quick break, that have undergone a few early injuries or have some players recovering. That is not the case for some said teams like our own, but I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really too excited about going back to international so quickly.
God, no. I mean, another chance for Diaby to get injured.
Is there any big games? I mean, really, I mean, everybody's playing, but is there any marquee matchups tomorrow?
Well, we've got Belgium versus Wales. We'll see Tommy versus Aaron there.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, well, that's I was actually very disappointed in Belgium not qualifying for the Euros. I thought they'd be a dark horse to do something. So I'm going to go with that again, that maybe this – I'll say they're going to I hope they'll qualify for this World Cup, because they seem like a squad that on paper could really do something. But
Right. Especially if Hazard kicks on the Premier League and
they've got tons of players that are – all playing at the top level now. But so a lot of matches. I know I don't think there's any big showdowns tomorrow.
England-Moldova.
England-Moldova.
Ooh, there we go. There's the big one.
Because I think it's what? It's the top seeds in the group against the lowest, I believe. It's one of those things. And, I mean, the good thing is, I mean, it's World Cup qualifiers, so they actually mean something, but it's still
too early in the stage of the groups. And it's not enough. Well, obviously, if it's high seeds against low seeds, it's not going to be that many exciting games.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get a couple surprises. We'll see. But so, nonetheless, we've been robbed of club football for a weekend once again. And we're going to see a couple. I mean, each team has, I believe, two matches, right? There are two qualifiers per team during this break.
Yep. There's one tomorrow and one on Monday.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. We'll get them kind of sandwiched around the weekend, and then players will be returning back to their respective clubs. And I believe Arsenal, I saw something earlier today, have the most players out on international duty. I think
14?
We have 14.
Is it 14 or 15?
I believe it's 14.
I thought I read 14.
Yeah.
14, which means 14 players will be praying do not get injured while international duty, as is customary for most Arsenal players to be fine and leave and join their national teams and get injured there, as opposed to getting injured where they should get injured.
I guess we'll wait to the report next Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, I was seeing someone talk about it, and it really seemed there's an interesting. You want to see them play well internationals with a few players, and we'll get to that later. But with a few players, you're just praying they make it through safely. Some former players of ours would always be the worst worries, and some current ones that have just regained fitness and form are others that we'd always worry about as well.
Yeah.
But transfer deadline day is behind us. It is now September. The window has closed. We've seen not too crazy of a transfer deadline day. There was some movement and some action, but
there was no Arsenal homepage refreshing like there was last year every 2 seconds. I mean, I didn't take a picture of the homepage this year like I did last year.
Oh man, yeah, there wasn't any of that. It was a little bit lackluster in that sense, and there wasn't too much movement amongst the biggest clubs, at least not in England so much. You know, we did see some movement from Manchester City, but, you know, none of these were big deadline day signings. I remember when they first got money, the way everyone was sweating out the Robinho transfer, you know?
Yeah.
That came down at deadline day, and it was a 30 or 32 million pound.
Yeah,
it was
that sounds a, about it was right, a, 32. It, was a, it sounds about
it
right.
Was
a,
yeah.
It was the record signing, came down to the last minute deadline day. There really wasn't – there weren't really any marquee names on the board.
You just had smaller clubs like Tottenham making signings and stuff.
Yeah. Well, they finally pulled the trigger to get some money to spend. They should have done that 6 weeks prior, probably for not much difference in price what they got for Modric.
Yeah, very much so. But, you know, it's one of those things that they were holding out for money. It actually seemed kind of...
It reminded me of our summer last year.
Yeah, I was about to say it is a little bit reminiscent of the way that we did all our business late. But, I mean, look at the way their season has begun. It's kind of... It hasn't helped them in any way, and it won't help them by not having a squad that's settled before the season kicks off.
Definitely. And they didn't address, the holes in midfield they have now after selling Modric and Van der Vaart, and they certainly didn't address their lack of strikers, really. They have Adebayor and Defoe as recognized strikers, right?
Yeah, and they missed out on signing Moutinho, so...
Yeah.
Well, they have Dempsey as a third striker.
They have Dempsey as an auxiliary, as a number nine, as a false nine kind of guy. I suppose we can talk more about Spurs to start. So, I guess amongst the main players, we saw Man City and Spurs do the most action, right? So Man City brought in a couple English players this transfer window, which... is an intriguing one because I think, as we've discussed before, none of the English players they brought in really seem to be major players or guys that will necessarily get tons of playing time. We've seen Rodwell play the first couple matches, but they're probably what their most expensive signing of the summer is a man who plays in the same position as Rodwell, right? I mean, Javi Garcia came in for was it 24 million pounds or so?
It was like 16 with add-ons.
Was it only 16? Okay, well... They didn't.
It's a big number, but when you're talking about them, it doesn't seem like, he's like, it's 16, 18.
For them,
For them, it's cheap.
Yeah, their ballpark is what they pay.
For us to be like, that's a huge signing.
Record, 16 record million signing. Record signing. So we saw Rodwell and Scott Sinclair, right?
Right, which barely.
Which is baffling, in my opinion.
Well, it just appears to. Be numbers, right?
It appears to be numbers. It seems like it's that you're seeing effects of the homegrown rule, right? If they were going to ship out any English players, they had to bring some in to
And they only named 23 over 21 players. I think it was 21 over 21 players.
Really?
I think that's all they named.
Huh? And so the rest are all younger.
They're all. Under 21, but I'm not sure. How many players do they use under 21?
Yeah, not
Rod, is Rodwell 21?
Yeah,
Rodwell.
Maybe.
Yeah,
so I don't know of any other players they use that aren't 25.
Yeah, there's not too many.
Right, it's just an odd move. With their seemingly endless funds, they could buy a better winger than Scott Sinclair.
Well, and it's a curious move for Sinclair also, just because, Sinclair was at Chelsea and couldn't get any minutes, so he went to Swansea.
Got minutes.
Right, and he started to develop, and it looked like, maybe he could be good enough for a bigger club, but who knows what the right step for him was, though. It seems like Scott Sinclair...
It's probably not Man City.
if you want to go... If you want to step up, you can go to another club where underperforming Englishmen play. You can go to Liverpool and probably do pretty well. Be better than Stuart Downing.
Probably better than Stuart Downing.
But,
who breathed a sigh of relief when Stuart Downing came on against us?
I thought he was supposed to play left back.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful that their only options off the bench were what? Who else came on? It was their two substitutions were Stuart Downing and exactly John Joe Shelvey.
They did bring Shelby.
But basically the bench had Stuart Downing and I don't know one other. There was no one of real menace on the bench for him.
Hey, Jordan Henderson. They could have brought him on. Then we would have known they were taking the piss.
Damn, you're so right. But Sinclair he's moved from Chelsea to Swansea and Swansea to City, and it just doesn't seem to make much sense for him really.
Other than his paycheck, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, big wages. And, you know, being a guy, it seems some of those guys, the younger guys that, you know, play at big clubs when they're young, they might get that mentality that they, you know, maybe they should be at the biggest club. I don't know. Like, for them to take the step down to go to a smaller club and then work their way back up, I don't know if it's just a status thing or what the deal is. Because it surely doesn't seem to be the best footballing decision, you know. I mean, because he needs minutes at this time, but
and to me, it's reminiscent of another head scratcher transfer. I mean, Victor Moses to Chelsea.
Yeah.
What is he thinking?
He's thinking, pay me that long dollar.
Yeah, right. He's thinking about money. I mean,
some of that oil
he
money, son.
To be at a little bit, you know,
oil.
He's worked his way
about
up.
Oil.
He's worked his way up, right?
Whatever, Russian.
From he was
money.
At Palace before Wigan, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And he probably deserved. Maybe to be at a mid-table, maybe?
Like Everton or somewhere like that. I mean, but Chelsea, I mean, after they bought Marin and Hazard and Oscar and all these guys that they're going to play out wide, it seems a silly move.
Well, they got a free spot. They sent Maluda to train with the under-21s for the rest of the year, so
right,
they got some spots
right.
open.
Poor Maluda.
Well, but here's one thing, though. When I think about that, like, yes, that might not be the best move for Victor Moses, but I guess unless you have a bunch of different suitors, I mean, do you get to choose who comes in and bids for you, you know? Because, I mean, if he wanted to leave and they're the only team that came in and bid money of...
Yeah, but they were rumored after him since the very beginning of the summer. If anybody else was really interested, they'd probably know they'd been outbid, so they might not have even bothered.
Maybe, but, I mean, the thing is that, like, if that's the case, if you're the player and you feel like you should move from... You know, and maybe moving from Wigan is the or was the right decision for him. But you know, like what level's acceptable? And like if there is only one team that comes in after you and they happen to be Chelsea, I mean, I guess you go, right? What are you going to do? Not go and
right.
stay at Wigan? You know, he's going to at the very least double his money, right? I mean,
right.
at least double his money.
Right.
From Arizona at Wigan, so I guess we can't fault him. I mean, I don't know. I don't fault him too much in that sense. I think it's a little bit different than the Scott Sinclair situation. But, you know, I guess if there's only, you know, unless you have the option of picking where you go, kind of like Eden Hazard did, you know, then it's a no-brainer, I guess. But moving on from City...
I would like to go back to Spurs just for a second to see how disappointed we all were to see him – to see Dempsey end up there on deadline day.
Dead to me.
Dead to me.
Dead to me.
Deuce is dead to me.
It couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse to see that end up – him going there. I mean,
well,
Liverpool was bad enough as a destination for me, and I kind of
right, and then he
threw
was holding
up my
out
hands.
For a move to Liverpool. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't even know if he was holding out for a move for Liverpool. He was praying he'd get Champions League football. We all knew that was the big thing, and he you know wouldn't have got that with going to Liverpool either. So it kind of seems like he had, let's not say illusions. Well, maybe illusions of grandeur. You know, I mean, he wanted Champions League football. It was made very clear that was one of his main targets. But realistically, I don't know. I mean, I would have gladly taken Dempsey at Arsenal from an Arsenal point of view, I think it would give them depth and a little bit of grit, and you know, it helps out the squad. In terms of as a USA fan, I don't think it's the best. As a Dempsey fan, I wouldn't think it would necessarily be the best move for him per se. Because I mean, I don't know. He's the kind of guy where he's at the point in his career he needs to go somewhere where he can play. You know, he deserves to be at a place like. I mean, I guess you could say someplace like Liverpool or something like that, or an Everton, or someplace where he could shine, where he could play in Europe. I've always said I thought it would have been better if he had gone abroad and gone to play, maybe, you know, because in terms of Champions League clubs, he could play in the Champions League on a smaller team, you know?
Right.
I always thought it would be perfect at a German team or a Sevilla or Valencia would really suit him. But that's just me. But so now he ends up at Spurs.
Where he's not going to get Champions League football.
No Champions League football.
Yeah, he'll end up playing, though. I mean, he'll play.
Yeah, he'll play. He'll get minutes. But he doesn't get Champions League football. And it seems, well, you know.
He gets European football, at least.
I suppose so. Yeah, he gets European football. But he's had that with Fulham. right? He scored that amazing goal to beat Juve for Fulham in the Europa League,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Right, right. And they went to the final with him in the team.
Right. That was the same year, right? That was two years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, under Hodgson.
Under Woy.
Woy, Uncle Woy.
And so, I don't know. But you know, the thing is that I feel like, I guess he backed himself into a corner. And he had kind of burnt all his bridges with Fulham, so he kind of had to go with whoever was going to pay at that point. So, I don't know. It was clear. I mean, had he held out for Tottenham.
I'd like to know what wage he's on there.
I don't know.
They haven't said.
I saw him coming out and say that he was – I saw that Grant Wall reported that he was on – or he had like a three-year 21-point-something-million-dollar contract. And Deuce tweeted – he retweeted that and said something about that number being false.
Yeah.
So who knows just exactly what money's on. Nothing I mean, but he's got a pay raise. He's, you know, he's playing at a bigger club, I suppose. He's moved from the fourth biggest – from the fifth biggest to the fourth biggest club in London.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, hey, speaking of Americans on the move, to see a couple Americans end up at Stoke was a little more than disappointing.
It's odd because this is one of those things that's like, all right. So for a couple of them, it's two more Americans in the Premier League, which, you know, seems like a great concept. We should be excited about this, right? You know, the fact that Jeff Cameron, Maurice Adu, they're all coming over to the Premier League, but yet they're going to Stoke. And you got to think, like, what is that going to do, you know, Premiership football? It's a great idea, great concept, right? But what is it going to do for them in a footballing sense, you know, other than, you know, teaching them how to
throw ins?
Yeah.
I'm sure they know how to boot it downfield by now.
Yeah. Boot it downfield, throw it in long. You know, they're not going to learn too much. I don't think it's going to help their football in any which way, and I don't see it being too beneficial. Obviously, playing in the league will help. You know, Mo Adu leaving Rangers, you know, it's a big deal. You know,
he can't stay in the third tier of Scottish football, though.
No, you can't. You can't. And so, I mean, it's good for him to make the move, but really, just to go to Stoke, man, like. And they have they have three American. They have like one other American too, don't they? They have something like that. There's someone else they have in the reserves or something. I thought so. Jeff Cameron and Mo Adu, but because they have the most Americans on in the Premiership now.
Yeah.
What a terrible, terrible thing.
Went from full America right now. Fulham has zero.
Yeah,
Americans.
Fulham has gone down to nil. They're no longer America's team.
That's right.
It's a shame. It's a shame because Fulham's okay. Like, you know, their big rivals are Chelsea. They're from London. Yeah, nothing to hate.
Yeah, I didn't really
Fulham.
Mind.
You got nothing wrong with it.
Only time I minded them when we would play them. That's
yeah,
the only
that's
time.
It. That's it. But Stoke, man, it's such a shame that all those Americans went there, and now they're on a team that's going to be in the Championship next season. It's a fucking shame, you know. We want them to stay in the Premiership.
They're vastly going to improve their naked headbutting game, though. So I mean, I guess we have that to we have to thank Stoke for that.
And but now I'm just conflicted because I want to see them relegated, but now we have Americans there, and I want Americans. But you know, I guess I still want them relegated because if they you know get the drop, then hopefully one or two of them will leave and join a different Premiership team.
That's to mention we sure as shit won't have to play them next season.
They're still my pick to go down.
Just still your pick.
Yep.
I'm with you. Well, as it stands, they're I guess it's a little early. They're on 3 points. So they're right in the middle of the table. They gotta fucking win. Who did they?
They drew all three games.
Oh yeah, 0-0, 0-0, 1-1.
I believe so.
Something like that. Real exciting.
Quality football. That.
We saying that after we go draw, then finally win a match. But
we talking a lot of shit now. After
we've looked good though for the most part.
Yeah, but so.
Well, I don't know. We looked good for the most part, but we looked good last week.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. But so. Stoke has brought in their American. Spurs have brought in an American. Brought in a keeper, which affects another American because this puts Friedel's consecutive match streak at jeopardy. Because how much did they sign a Hugo Lloris for?
$12 million.
I think it's like begins at 8, could rise to 12. I think it's only like 8 up front.
But you don't pay double-digit millions for a keeper and not play him.
But you can't pull Friedel out at the same time.
Yeah, well, I mean,
how do you deny Brad Friedel? I mean, that game last week was phenomenal.
So then why do you sign that keeper?
For the future, because Friedel's 41.
Yeah.
But what, you're going to make somebody unhappy in the meantime. I mean, absolutely.
But I suppose you're going to make someone unhappy, make the 41-year-old unhappy, I guess.
You know, though, it's football. You don't care about people's feelings for the most part when you're the manager.
I mean, if Loris performs, then I guess you're okay. But as soon as he doesn't, then you're going to have, you know, shit in the papers constantly being written about how you shouldn't have pulled Friedel out.
Well, if I had, I mean, I would play Friedel over Lloris. I mean, that's just, I mean, from what I've seen from Lloris, I mean, he's a good keeper, but he's got his weaknesses.
Yeah.
Right. And he's a little weak bit, in the air. I don't think he's as confident as other keepers.
Yeah.
Even size-wise, Friedel, size-wise. Is a good size
keeper. Yeah, no, I would expect, from Lloris, I'd expect some of what we saw from De Gea last year.
A little bit right. flappy.
Because, yeah, a little bit flappy because they're both amazing shot stoppers, but like you said, the way they command a box, their physicality.
Can you imagine Lloris against Stoke? That'd be a nightmare for him.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a bit of, you know, we even had that against Stoke. It was a difficult game for a keeper.
To be perfectly honest, I'd rather have Hugo Lloris in goal than Brad Friedel when come time that Arsenal play Tottenham. I mean, you know, I mean, we'll see. He hasn't even played a minute yet for him. But, one, Friedel always performs against Arsenal.
Well, he picked up the ball out of the net pretty good last year.
He did pick up the ball pretty well. He did that.
He looked good. I'll never forget the look of him looking at Ledley and them just looking at each other like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, there wasn't much you could do about any of that. You know, I still remember all those matches against Blackburn and whatnot, where it's just like, God damn it, dude, bring in his A game, just over and over again. But what can you do? So, but Spurs lost. I mean, let's not. So they brought in Dembele, right? They brought in Dempsey. This is all filling the void of losing two of their three best players, right? If we'd say, right, because they lost
Modric
and Van der Vaart,
right.
Right, those are their two best and creative central, you know, players. The only guy left is
the only problem with Van der Vaart was he seemed to be about 65-minute player.
Well, to his, I mean, that might be part of why he was happy to get out of there because he was pissed about getting subbed, but then his hamstrings weren't too happy about playing either. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, in my opinion, Dembele and Dempsey are not Van der Vaart and Modric.
They're not.
I mean, they don't make up for that loss at all.
No. You have to add in the other midfielder.
Sigurdsson, he's not ready. I think he did wonders at Swansea, and I don't think he's ready for Tottenham.
Well, I mean, if you think this, if I don't even think I think their fans at this point even realize they're not winning a title. They're turning over this team, you know, that was built. He sold the biggest player. He's probably going to sell Bale is their next biggest asset to fund the rest of the transfer.
Well, you know, there's no surprise, right, that there's a new partnership, right? So they've got some kind of understanding with Real Madrid, which basically means Bale's going to go to Madrid next season.
I heard he signed an extension last year, right? But I think in the summer.
I don't think it was an extension, but I think it was a clause that activated. With them getting top four, I think that's what I saw. Like it wasn't something that he willingly signed.
Was it just a pay raise and an extension, a club option or something?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Well, I think he's worth more because of his new ears.
His new ears?
I think so, too.
Explain. Please enlighten me as to what you are referring to.
Well, I mean, if you look up what Gareth Bale ears pinned, you'll see some before and after picks. The before is pretty much Planet of the Apes.
What do you mean? He's less Dumbo now?
A little less. Not even a little. I mean, he could have taken flight before. And he's a little more aerodynamic now.
Oh, really? Yeah, wow, that's an interesting development. I mean, that must be his next step on his way to on his ascendancy to stardom, right? He's got the ears.
Either that, or it's when they tagged him in Wildlife and they pulled it out and it changed his ears.
Explains a lot.
It's rough.
It all makes sense. Oh man, tagged and ready to go.
Poor guy.
Fair enough. So,
what about Arsenal and overall last day?
Well, right. Enough about small clubs, right?
Right. Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't know. We there wasn't really much action at the very end of the window for us. I don't know, man. You know, we were kind of holding out hope those last few days. There might be like one more signing just to kind of tilt the balance. You know, I think the signings that Arsenal made were all very good, astute signings. I think they really helped our squad. But I think with the amount that we lost, it's just a complete wash and it's a complete gamble, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Because of Robin or because of Song?
No, the combination of the two.
I just think that he just saw Arteta taking more of that role, and so he's risking it, but he thinks it's worth the gamble to take that profit.
I'm not really crying over Song, but there's no doubt that Song was and is a quality midfielder that, you know, let's just talk about depth, you know. It's like Song is right. A good midfielder, whether or not he was perfect in the role that he played for us or this and that, you know, like he is a good quality premiership proven midfielder who was also our most creative player last season, who also is, you know, arguably one of the better defensive midfielders in the game when he played that role, you know, when he stuck to his position.
Man, and then that's evidenced by the fact that he didn't go to some shit club. He went to Barcelona.
Right. It's not a coincidence. Like, just because, I mean, we'll see how much playing time he gets there. I mean, we'll see, you know, how it pans out for him. We're all going to hope it goes a little bit Hleb-like and that he ends up at Birmingham next season.
I don't see that he ends up Hleb-like. You know, I don't. I think he'll get playing time. He's gotten some playing time. He's not going to get 90 minutes against Madrid.
No.
You know. No, no.
But
Ron Busquets is better.
Minus 90 minutes against whoever's the fourth seeded player in their group.
You know, right. Well, I mean, in the group. I mean, you know, he exactly right. He's going to get
which
matches,
will make them stronger.
Right.
In anyway.
Right. But the thing is that, like, you know, you take our additions and they're all quality additions, but it's true none of them are Premier League proven, which you take into account. But yes, they're proven internationals. They're quality players. We've brought in quality players to the squad, but what we've lost is the best striker in the league, you know, the leading goal scorer in the league, you know, and so we gave away our leading goal scorer and our leading assist maker of last season.
Yeah, but you could probably say assist wise, we've probably replaced the assists.
Yes, well, we have, but I'm just saying that, like, you gave away two of your strongest 11.
No doubt.
And one of them was the best player in the league last season, and we gave him to a direct rival.
He was barely. Right. He was marginally the best player.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
He was PFA Player of the Year. He was Premier League Writers Player of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, he
was the best player in the league last season.
So we've given him to he that shall not be named to
Judy
to the fucking Manx. And, you know, and that's obviously it's not how we would have hoped it would have gone, you know, and, you know, I'm sure it was kind of like that's how it ended up being.
Fucking Juventus wouldn't stump up the cash.
Those rat bastards. Why wouldn't they?
And they said they signed the great Nicholas Bentner.
They wanted an Arsenal striker. Yeah. They got one.
They got their Arsenal striker.
They wanted one for no money or little money, and they got one.
And I hear they put him on a diet, right?
That's right. Fatty Boom Bum.
Yeah. I'm going to whip his ass into shape, turn him into a machine. We'll see.
Wouldn't that be something else?
Hey,
he fucking goes there and pushes on to score 20 or something.
Hey, he might get 15. But I mean, all know he could.
Like 8 or 9 last year, 10. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't
at Sunderland. Wasn't, I mean, bad. He'll get more if he plays, he gets more chances at Juventus than he does at Sunderland.
Right, right. They got a much better team. They're still fucking unbeaten, like 42 games or some shit.
Yeah, but this, I don't know. They went from being a team that I thought they'd, I don't know. Well, we don't need to talk about Serie A right now, but
right.
I really thought there was always talk about them signing, you know, they were talking about bringing in a big striker this summer. So, like, the first talk was RVP. If not RVP, they'll bring in Higuain.
Cavani not, wasn't even.
And then they were like, oh, maybe Cavani or maybe even
Jovetic.
Jovetic, Dzeko. No, but there was talk of some. Yeah, talk about Dzeko. No, but there was one other one too that I can't remember who it was, but
Llorente.
Yeah, they're talking about Llorente too. Yeah, so they're talking about like bringing in so at least three, you know, four of those RVP, Higuain, Llorente, and Cavani are all like top strikers. And you're like, wow, yeah, that could be huge. You know, they had that, they could be a real European powerhouse. And it's like they got fucking Matri and Nicholas Bentner on loan.
I think they even said in the last few days. I think maybe they're even known to the players, the other players. We know it's not, you know, the best striker, but we're going to try this out.
We're going to see how this works. Like, hey, he was basically free. We paid nothing.
Right.
I mean, they got the big striker they wanted, and then they put him on a diet.
Right.
He needs to be a little bit smaller.
A little bit smaller. Not that big.
Not that big.
Somewhat big.
He's a huge signing.
Biggest signing ever.
Oh my god! Yeah, they should have bought it. Adriano should have gone back to Europe. I saw you just signed a contract somewhere. He's going back to play for like Fluminense. Watch, I completely butchered. I don't know where the fuck he's going. He went back to play for a Brazilian team.
It was Fluminense or Flamengo, and I think he missed a training session already.
Oh man,
he was eating. What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want from?
Did you guys see that shirt with that where the fucking medical staff or locked him in his room so he wouldn't eat or something?
No.
Oh, it was from last year. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That fat bastard. What can you do? What can you do?
I'm still surprised that Arshavin. I mean, I'm not overly surprised, but I was hoping Arshavin would make way just so maybe we would get another player, not because, you know.
I don't. I mean,
I wanted him to go.
I'm happy to
go for a year, but.
I'm happy to keep him. We need depth.
I'm going to quote a wise man from Twitter and say that we will promote from within. And I think Serge Gnabry will see some chances this season.
We'll see. We should, you know, I think how soon is that first? I know they did the draw last week for the Capital One Cup, right? Whatever the League Cup's new name is.
That's what it is now.
Yeah, the Capital One Cup. I expect to see Anike. I expect to see Gnabry. You know, those guys are going to get some minutes, you know. And maybe if we can actually do the business early in the Champions League, which would be a nice thing but not too likely. They might get a few minutes the way they had before Olympiacos or something in the last game of the
Like of the group stages, 2 years ago?
Like they did a couple of years ago. And then those players, I mean, to be perfectly honest, if there's no crazy injury issues, I expect to see those guys go on loan probably to a championship team or something, or premiership club
Chuck,
in January.
I think Zanicki's already.
Chuck's going on loan to Crew.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
Already? What? Yeah. How long ago?
I think I was looking at stuff about today, so I don't know if it was.
Oh, okay. Actually, six. He played for the under 21s a couple days ago. So.
Right.
I think I just heard about it today.
It's in the works.
Official or not.
Right. It's Crew League One or Championship? They're in League One, right?
League One.
That's a shame. I was hoping he got a championship.
I think that's kind of the commentary I saw was people were hoping that it had gone to a little higher.
Well, you know, last year they were talking about him potentially getting a premiership. Well, I don't think it was in Wenger's plans, but there were premiership clubs actually interested in loaning him. Like that was, he was getting more interest than the other players, I suppose. But I mean, he's regarded as our, you know, If you tell him that about the Serge Gnabry stuff recently, he's been our most touted prospect since Wilshire. So,
did you see Arsenal apparently blocked loan attempts for Connor Henderson.
Oh, really?
Must be really? Doing decent from his rehab on his knee, right?
Well, you know, he scored a couple goals for the under-21s the other day. You know, free kick and another one. Or I think a penalty and a free kick, but...
I mean, we'll have a ton of players coming through.
We got a shit ton of players. I mean, how many of them make the grade? We'll see. We will see.
You only need one or two of them out of that whole group to make the grade so that we can sell them on later.
True. So, that aside, we're 3 weeks or three weeks and three matches into the new Premiership season. Do you guys have any particular surprises? Anyone that's really impressed you so far? How about you, Sean? You got anyone in particular that sticks out in your mind if it really impressed you in the beginning of the season?
I like Everton. I've always liked Everton. I think Moyes is a great coach. He's a great manager. He's a bit like Arsene. He's frugal. He sold Rodwell, and he got quality players in his place, and I think they've started the season really well.
Yeah, you know, they started well. I mean, they did lose the other day to one of the other surprises, one of the other impressive teams that have started well in West Brom. But to start off with a victory against United and then another impressive win to follow, you know, it's a good thing to see from them because they're the perennial slow starters, right? I mean, they're the kind of team that usually comes out of the gate really slow and builds their way in to end up with a pretty respectable finish at the end. So it's good to see.
I don't know if it's surprising, but to lose your manager and then Swansea to replace the manager, keep playing the system, lose a couple of your, you know, better players from last year and just keep plugging along has been impressive.
Yeah, Laudrup's done a pretty good job there, you know, and it looks like Michu might be one of the, well, as of now, is one of the best signings so far in the Premiership, right? He's got what? He's got three goals or so? Three goals and assists?
Is it three or four?
Maybe four.
He had a brace.
He scored in every game, right? He's got a brace and then a goal in each of the other games? Something like that. So. I don't know. Some might fact.
And then they got Pablo Hernandez from Valencia on deadline day. That was a surprise.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, yeah, man, they're looking good. It's impressive to see them. You know, there was a lot of doubt whether or not they would be able to maintain it after losing their manager. But, you know.
That just goes to the system that they've ingrained there, right? Because it was there before Rodgers.
Right. But, you know, it's been good. It's been impressive. And, like I said, and, well, you know, you're talking about the manager thing. I mean, West Brom are, you know, two wins and a draw, joint top of the league. And they also lost Roy. You know, they lost Roy, no more Hodgson, and now Steve Clark. You know, starts off with a win against the team that he was the assistant manager of last season, right, in Liverpool, and goes on to get a couple more impressive results, and they're doing quite well. They didn't quite have the squad turnover that Swansea has, right, because Swansea's lost, like you said, they've lost, what, three of their, or
right,
four?
Allen.
Hold on, wait, Allen.
Sinclair.
Sigurdsson on loan.
Right, he was on loan there last year.
Oh, where was he on loan from?
Was in Hoffenheim? Is that where he was?
Yeah, he was at Hoffenheim.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Those three?
Those three.
And then, is that it?
I think so.
Right.
I know they lost their center back this last weekend. We'll see how they adjust.
That doesn't bode too well for my fantasy team, but that's for another conversation. But yeah, we'll see how that works out for them. But they're looking good for now. But so with every success story comes someone who has not done so well. And let's say there's some usual suspects down at the bottom of the pack, or let's see teams with higher expectations that aren't doing so well. I don't know if we want to talk about.
Must be talking about QPR.
QPR.
QPR signed a ton of players. I'm surprised to see him there. It takes time for a team to gel. Yeah. So,
how many players did they sign? Really, honestly, do you guys know?
It's really like double digits? 12 or 13 players.
Yeah, it's over 10 for sure.
You know what fucking cracked me up about this though is like after signing all those fucking players, I'm watching the match this past weekend, and they still have Nelson. Well, not even still. They signed him.
They just signed him.
He's a new sign him.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a, you know, some rich ass backer and like you're building a team and like, all right, maybe Anton Ferdinand can stay in your starting defense. That's okay.
Man, he's awful.
Anton Ferdinand is like the worst center back in the league.
But Ryan Nelson.
He makes Dawson look world class.
Well, that's why they're trying to sign Dawson. But
I might rather have Nelson than Ferdinand.
Oh man! Well, he missed two chances.
So.
He missed two wide open chances. Well, not wide open, but like he showed his age. And I remember saying something like "White man can't jump." He tried to like jump volley some shot, and I was just like, you know. And he's got his Silver Fox look going on. I was just like, man, this old white man dude is not. Like, why would he be your signing? Like, why would you ever bring him in? He couldn't even get a match at Tottenham last season when he went there as a reserve, you know. But they brought in a couple other decent players, right? They were playing, you know, Granero's. He's a decent player.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He went there,
even, right? It didn't make sense. Well, they
as an upgrade from what they had, at least on the right side.
Right, I suppose so. I suppose
compared
so. Yeah, I don't exactly.
Year.
I don't even know who the hell they had last year. Yeah, I mean, but they brought in a couple quality players.
They lost one of the best players in the league, though, in Joey Barton. So, obviously,
how did they cope with his loss to
Marseille?
The Premiership's lost one of their greatest sons.
Did you guys see that the FA forwarded his suspension to the French league, and so now he's out until like November?
Perfect.
That's
I'm happy that happened.
Brilliant.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, no, he doesn't get to come back until the Marseille's game against Bordeaux.
That's a fair trade, right? The Premier League gets Hazard, and the French league gets Barton. That's fair.
One cunt for another, right? Yeah. One in, one out.
Yeah, well, when you put it that way, it makes plenty of sense. Plenty of sense.
We should probably talk about in and out and cunts, but we'll move on.
We shall. Now on to the next team that's made a good routine of, let's just say, underwhelming the public and their supporters and the league and anyone who watches them. That would be Liverpool. LOLerpool. They haven't looked terrible.
They weren't terrible.
No, I mean, they look good against Manchester City, I suppose.
Probably overachieved a little bit that day.
They did, but Pepe Reina, king of the howlers.
He's
he's fallen off, in my opinion. I mean,
it seems like for every great save he makes, there's a weak one.
He's had a good year and a half of weaker play.
Right.
We'll even go back to what was it, opening day two seasons ago against Arsenal.
With Shamak, right?
I believe so, right? At the very end of the game, the one that he like pushes or falls into the net with or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Let it in and tie it up.
Yeah. Not
they're in transition and they're gonna be there for a while.
They will
I think you mean decline, Joseph.
Well, They're transitioning from a 7th place team to a 12th place team. It's still a transition.
It is a transition. Transitions take time.
That's right. But you know, when your owner comes out and tell you, you know, and admits fault, I'm sure that's good for your club and your supporters.
Oh man. I don't know, man.
Joe Allen though, I think he's impressed me. He did good against us.
Yeah,
he did okay, but what did he do?
I mean, he had a bunch of dribbles.
Well,
he's
never played in the league before
on the field.
True. Yeah, I mean, he's a decent footballer. To be perfectly honest, I hadn't seen much of him. You know, I didn't watch many Swansea matches last season, and when I did, he didn't really stand out to me per se when I did watch them. So I didn't really pay much attention until I watched him play for Team Great Britain in the Olympics this year. And he looked all right out there, and he's looked relatively tidy for Liverpool.
You know
so
who
far.
Looked awful? I mean, Pepe Reina looked awful, but Gerrard has looked awful in this system.
No, he's bad. Yeah, he's slipping. It might be the system. It might be his age catching up to him.
Well, it's both. Man, he's been perennially injured for the past couple seasons. You know,
right.
Like that groin's never healthy. This and that. And you know how that can
losing the ball, dispossessed easily. I mean.
He needs some HGH. I mean, horse placenta.
Yeah, he needs to get on that. He needs to get on the phone with whoever's closest American friend to our, and, you know. you got any buddies who play baseball, football, anything? They'll set you up.
But, yeah, he's looked awful. He really has. Looks like – it's not that he's lost because he's obviously a quality player, but something's just not hooking up right. You know, they changed that – the front part of their team so much from the guys who ran forever, like quite never
Dirk
stopped
Kout,
running.
Yeah.
And even Maxi had a decent amount of appearances.
Well, it's like I said, it's a whole different system. And I don't really see this system does not play to his strengths. You know, like he needs to be that, like when you think of Steven Gerrard, you think of him in his pomp, it's like, he's a dynamo charging through the midfield, like pushing forward, surging forward those runs, you know, like that's like.
And then ripping that fucking shot from 30 yards and
right,
pissing
exactly.
off as it goes in.
Breaking through. Just like, you know who's looked a little bit like Stevie G in the past couple weeks is our main man, El Diablo.
Yeah.
At least last week.
Last week. That one run that Diaby made.
Where he slipped the ball to Giroud?
Where he slipped the ball to Giroud. Yeah, that little dink, and then gallop away from the defender.
How many times did our midfielder take the ball and have an acre and a half of space in front of
them? Just like 10 to 15 yards, and then everyone's backing up off him as they just charge.
Right. Especially Diaby and his fucking gazelle gallop down the field. Yeah. Right. Where fucking nobody reaches him when he gets in a sprint with his fucking 10-foot-long legs.
Dude, through players' legs.
It's so funny when you saw him accelerate, just like the distance between his 2 feet when he was in full stride. You're like, holy shit. Like a 7-foot span, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
From front to back. He covers the pitch in 10 steps.
Yeah, it's fucking daddy long legs, man. Just striding.
He's like the opposite of Cazorla. Cazorla's like doing
Cazorla did the little motor legs, dude. Like, you know, was it the cartoon characters where they start running and then like the start spinning, right? The legs start spinning as they run. I'm thinking of like Coyote and like Roadrunner legs.
Right, Roadrunner.
Hey, quick question. I'm trying to think, did Cazorla lose the ball at all?
Hmm.
Because I'm trying to think, like, he just doesn't lose the ball. Him and Arteta are the same way. Like, they fucking get it, they shield it, and it just doesn't go anywhere. Like, I watched him dribble away from people and then like past them, like Cazorla was just phenomenal.
We dominated the midfield. It wasn't, you know, it's hard to judge. They looked really good in that game. Just I don't want to get, you know, way ahead of ourselves because of Liverpool's midfield.
Right, but I mean, I think that's Arsenal's plan, is to have three quality midfielders like Cazorla, like Diaby, and like Arteta. That read the game so well that you don't need a defensive midfielder, because they read it and they intercept, and then they get play going again.
Yeah, definitely the technical level, you know, is very key for them, and obviously, you know, the possession is going to be super important. I'm interested. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a couple months before we see what our real first choice midfield is, because you know Jack's going to come into the mix, and you got to figure out where is he going to play. Is he going to play? You know, I still only consider Diaby and Wilshere combined as one player.
Until you see otherwise.
Well, right. I mean, because one, you know, we don't know how long either one, or if either one will be fit, you know, come 2 months, you know, like we just don't know. We don't know. So, you know, like Diaby being fit right now is great. Like, I hope he's fit long enough to, as of right now, my short-term goal is that Diaby's fit long enough for Wilshere to get back.
Right.
Right. Baby steps.
But we had these same kind of feelings, you know, in January 2011 when Robin finally got fit and he played 3 games in a row, and you're like,
wait, who? Who?
Some guy. Some young guy. Oh. Well, some old guy.
The newest
kid with the gray hair.
Yeah, no. Hold on. The newest spokesman for Just For Men. He's taken over for Luis Figo. Didn't you hear?
But we had those same kind of fears. Well, is he going to get hurt? Is he going to get hurt?
Well, right. So we pray that bow-legged Diaby can still keep those daddy long legs healthy long enough. I mean, who knows? I mean, I will be less, like, once Jack is fit, I'll be less worried about it with him, just because also with his frame, you know, like, generally smaller, more compact players don't get injured as much in that same way, the way that lanky, long-legged guys do.
Well, as soon as he returns, hopefully, I mean, even Riziki will be back, and it's just further depth.
Right. Well, hopefully so. And the thing is, I don't know, I always, you know, because from watching reserve matches and whatnot from before, I always thought Will should be playing further forward. And I kind of think him playing in more of a holding box-to-box role, you know, in two seasons ago for us was kind of like one of those situations of Wenger kind of training him to be a complete footballer, right? You know, get the defensive side down, and then you can move forward and this
well,
and that.
Well, he also had somebody in front of him. He wasn't going to push out yet either.
True.
At that time.
This is true. Yeah, he wasn't going to, but I mean, it was part of his learning, you know. And I really think what might be our most effective kind of, I kind of see it being as a little bit of a double pivot kind of situation, is him alongside Arteta, you know, like the two of them. And when one goes forward, the other one holds. Like, I really see that working well is with those two, and with, you know, Cazorla in front of them. I really see that being something successful for us. The good thing is that all those players, when everyone's fit like that, you can interchange and mix and match, because they're all cultured enough quality footballers that they can all play, you know, all those roles, you know, in a sense. Back to your point earlier, what you were talking about, Sean, with Cazorla. My favorite thing while watching him, which is something that we haven't seen even with our most quality players that we've had of late, is that it's one of those things that you see with certain players that are just have such class that they're so good with both feet that they always play the ball, the correct ball to where it's played, in the sense that, like, if the pass comes in to where it makes sense for them to turn and go left, like, that's the direction they go. And if the, you know, right. if whatever the ball sets up to be correct, he doesn't correct it to put it back on the right foot or move it to the left foot. You know, it's always, if the ball's moving this way, he turns it left and passes with his left foot because that's the correct pass to make. You know, most of our players, I mean, look at guys like, you know, some people you'll say, all right, even Cesc, who's been our best attacking midfield that we've had.
He's playing with that right foot.
Right, but I mean, he didn't have a terrible left foot, but you will see him turn and put it back on the right foot to make the pass. You know, he wouldn't try to send a 30, 40-yard ball with his left foot.
Right.
He wouldn't. And you look at guys like, you know, other guys we've talked about. You know, Rosicki had a great end of season last year. You know, but
middle of the season.
He's as one-footed as they come. He's the guy. He's Mr. Outside of the right foot pass. You know,
absolutely,
because he's got no left foot. You know, so it's refreshing to see a guy who will, you know, he routinely plays, you know, long, not just a short, you know, 5-10 yard pass. He plays 20-30 yard passes with either foot, with no hesitation.
No, not whatsoever.
And that's refreshing because you don't see too many players like that. I mean, I think of Wesley Schneider who can do that, a few other guys, you know, but we're talking about like really top class midfielders that really can play with both feet.
What his dominant foot is his right foot, isn't it?
See, it's great that you can ask that question.
Well, I did that for a reason because I swear I thought he was left footed.
Yeah, he's right footed.
Yeah.
But he's so cultured, he's so good that he can swing balls either way with both foot. It's just you can't tell.
Yeah, he can probably take free kicks with his left foot. Go figure. But I mean, that's the thing that separates class though, and some of these players, man. That's one of those things that's just been really refreshing.
It's nice to know that. I like all of our signings. I'm a little disappointed that Theo didn't sign an extension. Surprised still that he's still with us when they said that he would be gone if he didn't sign an extension. Not surprised and not really unhappy that he's sitting on the bench for the first three matches.
Yeah. Well, no, he got one start, right? He started the first match.
The first match? He came off the bench for the second one, right? Because that was right...
Off the second. He started
deadline day.
He started the first match. Yeah, and then he came off the bench, and then he sat there.
So he sat the entire 90 minutes.
He was gathering splinters against Liverpool.
But, I mean, for the board not to have sold him, you know, our profit-centric board, they have to be confident that he's going to sign. I mean... But yeah, you know, the club were confident that Van Persie was going to sign too, though. So
yeah, I don't know.
They don't seem to be as worried that he's. Yeah, you're. I agree. They're either not worried that he's going to sign, or they're putting their foot down, or I'm not exactly sure. But they seem to. They're sitting on the bench for a reason. It's not just because he's behind other players.
Well, here's the thing. I always thought. I mean, here's. If we had, a lot of people talked about this, and for me, the whole Theo thing, I know he's one of your favorite players, Joseph, but like, for me, the issue with him, the not signing thing is more about the message that it sends. For me, that's the bigger concern, you know, because to be perfectly honest, I love the pace and the options that he gives us, and I want to keep him around. I'm not as attached to him as you are. And if you were to have told me we're to lose a player over the summer, and I said it before, I would, if I had to lose one, I would have lost Theo over Robin, which would have been my decision, just because Robin is the much better footballer and will always be the much better footballer than Theo.
Well, right, except that up until this, him not signing last week, he was the one that wanted to stay.
I mean, but once again, like you said, you know, like if he wanted to sign, he probably would have already signed.
Yeah, I don't know what – I mean, I'm not sure. He's got – I mean, he's got the same – last year when I – or earlier this year I said that Robin – there were offers already on the table that his agent had. I'm sure that Theo is the same thing.
I'm sure Theo knows he can get paid $100K because he's English.
Right.
And he sees player – I mean, to be perfectly honest, some of it like you can't argue with. You can't argue with the fact that he sees guys like Milner on 90K a week or so, whatever the
fucking
hell they're on.
Fucking James Milner. Fucking young player of the year over Cesc Fabregas. Fuck me.
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous. But you know what I'm saying? So obviously he can get more money elsewhere. It's not a doubt, you know, but he should have signed. And I'm happy if he has to sit the bench, then he sits the bench, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with the way that the club are dealing with it.
It's just like you said, it's the message that it sends, you know? And then there were comments made by Sanya today, which some people, of course, will blow out of proportion. I didn't really look into all of it into too much detail. I don't know if you guys followed
it. I read what he had to say. Did you read it, Sean?
I saw it. I mean, it's just getting a little ridiculous. All these senior players coming out and saying this shit. I think the club needs to take a heavy hand against some of them.
Yeah, I mean, but he.
Well, I think Sandy needs to come back and play before he starts talking.
Right.
Look. I mean, you can say that, but he's also been before these couple injuries. One, he has proved himself to be the best right back in the league.
No, absolutely. He absolutely is.
And he's a senior player in the squad. I think if he needs to voice an opinion, one, it'd be better behind closed doors. But I mean, I don't think there's.
I already said before, right when the transfer window closed, he's probably our most eligible to sign for a profit next summer, considering his age.
Real Madrid's new right back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I could see him going for a decent price. They will buy a younger, cheaper option.
Right. Ramos is a center back now, right? He can play over Arbeloa. Fuck me. This is...
I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just the way that we are operating is that, you know, a player 29, he's 29.
Oh, the brutal realities.
And even though that he's, I mean, we've gotten rid of all our players that were that age and fantastic players over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay though. We've got Carl Jenkinson, right?
Well, I would be more than ecstatic if. I'd be more than ecstatic if Sanya signed an extension. But like you said, your buddy, Corporal Jenks, right? What do you think about him the other day? He's been deputizing. Our makeshift defense has... Because, look, arguably right now, before you talk about Jenkinson, arguably we only have two of our four starting defenders in there.
Arguably.
I said arguably. Because most people, before these past couple matches, would have always put Koscielny in there over Mertesacker. So... Right, I would too. So technically, I mean, this back four has not conceded a goal yet. So go ahead.
What did you want to say about
Jenkinson?
Go ahead
and wax lyrical, Sean.
Jenkinson. Okay. I mean, the guy, he's good. He's good for his age. I for a guy that played, I mean, was he playing non-league football before he went to Charlton? And he was only there for, what, a year? 2 years? I mean, for him to come on and kick on, I think he's developing at a pretty rapid pace, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and like Dick Joseph just said, he was injured for a good portion of last season.
Right. His tackles have been clean, timely. He's got decent pace. I mean, we saw him not quite matching Raheem Sterling, but certainly keeping pace with him, and Sterling is quick. Sterling's really quick.
He had a shaky beginning of that match. He misplaced... Some very dangerous balls.
Yeah, that was a poor ball. But, I mean, he's going to get better with that.
Well, I mean, you knew it was the Wenger's plan to buy a young guy, have him sit behind Sanya for a couple of years, and then hopefully move Sanya on. And you have this young Englishman /
what, Finn.
Yeah, Finn, that will hopefully run it up and down that side for years to come.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, who do you credit for this? Do you credit our new fearless leader at the back? Well, not the leader at the back, but the person who leads the leader at the back.
Do you give
Boldy some credit?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Pat Rice was a defender too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, and he was out there, you know, working with him. But I don't know that he was working with him to the degree that Steve Bold was. I mean, Steve Bould played under George Graham, and George Graham's teams were notoriously defensive.
It seems that the back, right and left back, seem to be staying home a lot more.
Yeah, than right. I mean, you don't catch them forward. Way upfield.
Yeah. I mean, they do. They're taking their opportunities, but it's not every single time they're running up and down the
lane. They're not bombing forward at every chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the organizations look good. The lines look good. There haven't been those, so far. To be perfectly honest, I mean, look, that's – I don't know. We haven't
gone against the best attacks for sure.
Well, and I'm happy we haven't conceded a goal yet, but it's not as though, like, there haven't been any chances or we've given up something. I mean, we could have easily, you know, conceded a goal or two. It's not like it's been a great performance overall, you know. It's been assured and confident, but it's not – I don't think we've looked like we couldn't be scored on. You know what I'm saying?
We've also had Manone back there, too. I mean, you got to look at it's not our first-choice goalkeeper, either.
Right.
It's not our second-choice goalkeeper.
He wasn't really tested last week.
Right.
He had one or two, but overall, he
still looks a little flappy. You know what kind of surprised me was how much he would just how many times did he shove Suarez? Like, double-handed, just, like, shoved him.
Right before the ball was coming in, shoved him.
Like, twice. I saw this. And, you know, he kind of flapped trying to get a foul once and got nothing. Like, he's still a little flappy in the air. Like, he does not inspire confidence.
Well, we have great shot stoppers. It's controlling the box.
You know, though, if anyone deserves a two-handed shove, it's that racist Suarez. That racist cheater Suarez.
Yeah, he's a diving, cheating cunt.
Good thing he can't finish worth shit.
Yeah. Thank God he can't finish. Thank God he can't
finish. He'd be dangerous if he could finish half of those things.
Yeah, because he gets in. He does everything else right.
Yeah.
His dribbling is...
Well, and it's his positional sense, too. Like, he always gets in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got good pace.
I hope they don't get his eyes checked.
Yeah.
I hope they keep whatever the issue is, like Balotelli. Don't get his eyes fixed.
Good thing you don't have Gerard playing those balls like he used to.
Yeah.
I like how Balotelli waited till the second... second week into the league to get his fucking eyes fixed.
Yeah, he was hanging out with his Ferrari, smoking cigarettes. I was like, it's about time.
I probably should get my eyes checked.
It's about time, right? I'm sick of training. Preseason's fucking
flying all over the goddamn world.
He hasn't started me. Fuck it. Let's go get surgery. That's it. Because he's been kind of a peripheral figure of the squad so far. He's come on as a substitute in like two out of three matches. And that's about it. Funny, man. Crazy.
Must be nice.
Yeah. They can all fuck off.
Yeah. It'd be nice to be able to bring on Mario Balotelli as a fucking sub.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if I'd want Balotelli on the team. I mean, you would, but you don't, you know? It's just one of those things. Yeah, I'm a character guy.
I would. If anybody could straighten him up, it'd be Arson or fucking Steve Bould with a choke slam.
Yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't fuck with Steve Bould.
I don't know that anybody would.
You forget how big that dude is.
Right, and you fucking
Steve?
See him.
Steve and tell you like...
No, you see him sitting on the bench. Then he stands up. He's like, fucking
huge. He's
fucking huge.
Yeah, he's a massive, you know, massive center back, man. He was no joke.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Bould.
Yeah, he was significantly bigger than Tony Adams, too. He's just a big beast.
Big guy, yeah.
Absolutely. How tall is he? Like 6'4"? 6'3"? 6'4"?
I think so.
Yeah, it's just no messing around with that guy. No, thank you. So, well, the good thing is, well, on that note, in terms of those guys coming back, the one good thing we get out of our international break is that Chesney should be back and recovered by the time we get back because he had a rib injury, and hopefully he'll get a week, at least an extra week or so.
Was he getting his own Eve or something? I mean, what the hell was wrong with his rib?
He had bruised ribs, something like that. Some kind of rib injury, something... Something that apparently needed a little more time. And, you know, I don't know, as a keeper, fuck, man, what a horrible place to be injured in the ribs. Because, I mean, all you do is you get boots to the rib, shots to the – you know what I mean? Like, you get hit in the ribs nonstop.
Hey, at least though it's not a, you know, recurring shoulder injury.
Right. So. Yeah, it's much better than a shoulder injury.
Who do we have up after the international break?
Southampton.
Southampton at home.
Should be some goals there.
Yeah, there should be some goals. You know, and we were talking about impressive teams, and even though they're at the and disappointments, even though they're at the foot of the table and have 0 points, they've looked like you said, they look like they could score some goals.
It's going forward is against pretty good.
They've scored two goals against City and two goals against United. And
yeah, they almost took points there last weekend.
And that's more than any other team usually does. Like you can't say too many like lower level teams or bottom half of the table teams that will go and score. One, score two at City. And, you know, even at home, score two on – not many teams at all score two on United. So, to be perfectly honest, they're going to put our 100% record at the back to a test because, you know, they're not afraid to play, which has been what's been beautiful about them and also their downfall. But, you know, so – you know, it'll be interesting to see what they can do. You know, do going forward. You know, hopefully we can continue to maintain our 100% record at the back. How long do you get? Let's take odds here. How much longer do we stay? How much longer does this?
Who do we have after Southampton?
Right, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
well, Southampton. I can see us keeping the clean sheets going.
So how much longer then?
Next week after Southampton.
The week after. So you think we're going to keep a clean sheet against Southampton?
Yeah.
It's doable.
Doable.
After I'm always with Montpellier.
I'm always right with my predictions. So.
Well we got to. I'm going to say with Montpellier, I'm not. I don't want to count Champions League because it's a separate competition.
Okay, then after that, we got City. So.
Like I said,
City away.
I think I said Southampton.
Would be
a clean sheet, and after that, I'm not so sure.
So you're saying we can't keep a clean sheet against City? We've done it before.
Well, we did it last time,
right? Come on, gentlemen. Someone go on a fucking.
You're going out on a limb to say we'll keep it that long. That's fine. You say it.
I'll say it. Fuck it. I'll say it. We'll go all the way to Chelsea.
It had to be said.
All the way to Chelsea.
Why not?
All right, so. Until Chelsea. You say City?
I say City.
I say it'll be gone against Southampton.
Well, it's been nice.
Right. Well,
as long as we get 3 points.
I was going to say City. Yeah, we'll win 3-1. So hopefully don't go down 2-0 or 2-1.
Against City?
No. Against Fuck, I hope not. Yeah, either one.
That's what I don't want to see. I want to see that ironed out from last season, these fucking going down goals early. And scrambling to try and find them at the end of the game.
Yeah, because as much as they say, oh, like when Manchester United comes from behind, oh, they showed the grit of champions to overturn that deficit. No, you don't fucking go down, you know, 1-0 and 2-1 to Southampton. Like that's,
yeah.
No, fuck that. Stay ahead and just stay ahead the whole game.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one of those things.
Just keep adding goals.
What, Arsenal won 4 matches coming from behind in a row or something last season?
Yeah, it was.
Right. It's like
nerve-wracking.
Exactly. I don't
four
want.
4 weeks straight. That's what it sounds like.
I don't want that. Like, I don't want that record, you know? Like, it's great in theory, but it means you went behind in all those matches, you know? Like, you never like your odds when you go behind in a match, you know? I mean, obviously, deficits can be overturned, but that's never the way to go.
Should have seen my fingernails.
Or lack of
non-existent.
Yeah,
I think there were a couple of days where I was fucking shaky after matches.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's not good for
like
any
a drunk
us.
Off a bender, man. Just
yeah,
shaky,
just shaky, shaky, shake. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. We now get to feast our eyes and ears on some internationals for a couple of days. We're gonna watch USA take on Jamaica.
Up the Moldova.
Up to Moldova against England. Man, but you know, without England.
I just don't care. I mean, that's all I'm saying about that, man.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm more excited about American sports this weekend, unfortunately, I think, because it's not going to be too much in terms of good football to watch. So, we will see. Well, thank you for joining me. Once again, it's been I Hate Your Club, Mr. Joseph Lipiaris, here with us. And Sean, you can also follow him on Twitter at Flargy. Thank you, gents. It's a pleasure, and we'll be back with more football next week. So, to the interval being over, and you know, good times.
Hear, hear.